Debbie. So nice to meet you on the phone.
It is so nice to meet and speak with you as well. I have so long admired your work, going all the way back to The Poker House, Lori Petty's movie.
That's an oldie.
That is an oldie. Yes, indeed. That was really Jennifer Lawrence's first dramatic breakout role.
So true.
But I have watched what you've done and created over the years to go from something like Poker House to Neon Demon. Talk about a range, woman. Talk about a range. Here you are re-teaming with Jeff. This is a great marriage, on-screen marriage you guys have here with your work. I mean, he brought most of his regular crew back for this film, and it shows in the excellence of the product. But I got to say, with a film like The Bike Riders and in the trailers and the posters, we see leather, we see denim. And you have to stop and think, how do we, and it's about a gang, so how do we make this look cohesive as a group and at the same time let individuality shine through? And you have done that so perfectly. You've got the black leather, you've got the denim, various shades of denim. You rip out sleeves, so we've got the shredded armholes. You've got patches on things, so we've got the Vandals logo, the Vandals patches, but then everybody has these individual little quirky patches on their jackets and their vests. You take grommets and put them around armholes, and then lace leather through those grommets. That black cotton shirt, long sleeve shirt that you found for Johnny, and also Cockroach wears one. You can tell it's to try and emulate Johnny. But it is so beautiful. You've got the Western look there with the embroidery for the pockets. You use the snap pearl stud buttons. Yep. But you change up the placement of them between Johnny's shirt and Cockroach's shirt.
Cockroaches.
And you've got the five snap cuffs on them. Then you give us something like Funny Sunny and that fleece lined vest that I want to know how you got that so dirty, but just
my age or dire, baby.
Oh God. But you just bring it all together and you counter the darkness of the black and the black leather and the denim with the residents of the Midwest community, that cornfield, wheat field, those umber tones, tans. We see it in Kathy's, her zip front short sleeve brownish shirt that she wears in like 1970. Yep. You've got the white Levi's, the lavender knit sleeveless mock turtlenecks. Just on every level, you individualize everything, but you show us the cliques, the groups of life in 1969. Brilliant, brilliant work, Erin.
Wow, Debbie, your attention to detail and all of these moments is so flattering and so cool and so awesome. I'm just impressed.
How did you even start with this one? Because everybody, you think the Bike Riders, do you think the black leather jacket? I also see a lot of Harvey Lembeck's Eric Von Zipper with the leather bike caps that the girls are wearing, the newsboy caps in leather. But where do you even start with this one so that it's not cookie cutter?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing I knew was that I needed everything to feel like it had been ridden in hard. And so the aging and the dying process was like a huge, huge component for me. It turned everything, like you say, from looking, you know, cookie cutter, use the best expression, into something that looked like it had a history. You know, it was road weary. It was, you know, hours upon hours upon hours of you know, sweat and grime and grease and dirt. You know, we went as far as to, like, collect the dirt of where we were shooting. Like, I'm so glad you noticed the wheat you know, the wheat toned fields. You know, we took the dirt from the streets of where we were shooting, and we used that as our dirt for mud, for dust, you know, an overlay of dust on everything. All of our denim was we sent it through an over dye bath.
Mm-hmm.
That Troy David like created this concoction. It was like a blue green over dye cast on all of the denim, so that it all felt like, instead of it coming from, you know, a modern time, that it was coming from this other time period and from similar sources, because it would have back then. As far as the Western front shirts, you know, I took a deep dive into those, and I knew that we just needed to make them, because at the end of the day, we were going to embroider them, you know, directly mm-hmm. onto fabric, and we needed the multiples, of course. We had a lot of stunt riders in this movie. I think, you know, my assistants, Lindsay and Christina, just basically lived in stunt land for, like, 4 months. bless their hearts. You know, it was all about finding the characters first. I mean, that's always my way in. I don't think about it as a big, huge project or this, you know, big group necessarily first. I think about it as individuals, and that really helps make it feel real, you know? And so the first character is Johnny, and considering, you know, what his influences are in the 1950s, silhouettes and colors and button-down shirts and the vest. I saw, you know, one of the images of him had this leather vest, and I loved that for Johnny. And then building on top of that, you know, when does he have his colors and what options does he have? Like, he doesn't wear he doesn't have the overlay of the cut on top of the leather. You know, he has separates, and because he can pick and choose. He has options. You know, then down to Benny with his, like, nonchalance, his, you know, ambivalence towards even being there. And his is as basic as you can kind of get, and it sort of drapes on him almost as if, like, he just, like, threw it on, and it just lays there, you know, sort of without any effort. You know, and then you go on to Kathy, and for her it was about being... you know, she was a pretty tough cookie to be surrounded by all these incredibly, you know, hard guys and in this subculture, this counterculture world. You know, she survived, and she stayed her own person, you know, sort of despite it. And that was really important to us, that she felt that she was not just completely taken by the biker culture and turned into, like, a biker, you know, person. And that she, you know, she had her own way of wearing things and her own style and her own silhouette, and she had knitwear, and it was important that she felt different. I mean, sometimes she dons the, you know, the piping shirt. She's, you know, paying homage and reverence to the, you know, at the funeral, and mm-hmm. something that she's, you know, being respectful for. And I think it was about character for me to slowly unpack each character.
Well, with Kathy, right away, she stands out, and it's because you had her in those white Levi's when we meet her. After the opening, sitting in the laundromat, which even the girls gathering in the laundromat, you have her set apart in her color palette from the others that are there. And I thought that was really terrific, because she, here again, like with the guys, she felt like she belongs with these women, but she stands out. She's an individual.
Exactly.
She doesn't melt into the background.
Yeah, one of the first sort of, you know, when I first read a script, sometimes I get, like, visions of things that I think need to be, you know, upon my first read. Usually by the time of the second or third, it, like, it's gone away. Like, I can't get back that first impression thing. But that first read, I imagined Kathy in in that bar, because it would be the last color you would ever imagine in an Americana biker bar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would cue into those things for her color palette and for her surroundings, you know, to peel her out from everybody else.
You obviously were working with your production designer and Jeff on the color palette, because even within Kathy's house, she doesn't melt into the background. She stands out from the walls and the furniture. She never melts into anything.
Thank you for noticing that. We work really hard. I work super close with Chad and Adam Stone, our cinematographer, and Chad, our production designer. It's so nice to have a shorthand with them, because I've worked with them, you know, many times before. And so, you know, I'm always aware of exactly that wall color and couch color and bedspread color. Those are typically, and kitchen cabinetry color. Those are typically like the big swaths of color that you need to watch out for, that I'm now always like super hyper wary of, or not wary, but I'm always asking that question, you know, early on before. And as I'm starting to plot looks into scenes, you know, I go into his office and I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about this one, you know, for this scene. And what do you think about the walls for that room? And do you know where they're staging that scene? Is that going to be in this room? Because sometimes I don't even know. As a designer, we don't even necessarily aren't part of those, like, tech scouts. Sorry, I just blanked on that word, tech scouts. You know, well, I'm not on those tech scouts, so I don't always know, like, which room are they going to have that conversation in, and which couch is, you know, so things like that. And I'm always trying to, like, get to the bottom of that information. And I'm grateful when I'm working with a production designer who both, like, knows the answer, knows what they're doing, like, knows it ahead of time, has a plan, and also just so collaborative.
Because there are so many, we have our main principles within the Vandals, and there's a lot of them. I think we've got, 15 to 20 of the core Vandals. Yeah. And each one, they look like they belong together, but they are all so individualized with their costume. I do have to commend you with Benny, because you mentioned about how he looks like, you know, he just threw it on. It's, everything's draped on him. Like, he actually looks like he just rolled out of bed and slept in his clothes. But you went so far as to pull out, stretch out the neck of the t-shirts. That was such a key detail for me, because it went with, in establishing Benny, because it went with the hair, which looked like he never combed it, but obviously there's a lot of product holding that hair in place.
You bet.
And those little attention to details, and to see these little things on each of our core guys, but we still believe they are acting as one. And that, almost like a movie musical.
That was really the big challenge, was, you know, you have these big numbers of these guys and big numbers, and you're really just thinking, okay, they're kind of a uniform. They're in uniform. Like, how do we make this feel real and textured? And that was, you know, it was really helpful to have the imagery of those characters from the book, so that we could kind of, you know, look in at, you know, Funny Sunny, and look in at Corky and Wahoo, and what did they do? And, you know, there was a cool image I had found in this Portrait of American Bikers book. It's another book that captured pictures from the outlaws in Michigan during the time, the same time period. And there was this one guy, it was amazing photography for us, like a wealth of information. Not that we were doing that particular place or thing, but there were just little cues and clues, really, of things I could do. And one of them was this, like, serape, this, like, Mexican blanket that they had taken and put the colors on. And it was just so cool. And I was like, okay, great. I'm gonna, like, Wahoo's gonna be able to do that. You know, it was all about, like, finding their individual thing. You know, I loved on, for Zipco, for Michael Shannon's character, I didn't, he doesn't have denim. He just foregoes it.
Yeah.
So that was our way of like kind of separating him from the rest. Like we're thinking like, okay, European, maybe less denim, you know, something that we see more, old, metal buttons and patches directly sewn onto the leather. And yeah, it was all about just like kind of picking a lane for each character so that it felt real.
Mm-hmm. And then once word of the Vandals and the gang, the bike riders, start spreading and all these other groups start appearing, all these little cliques, all the other groups, and it just builds and builds. And I love how you kept their looks separate and distinct from the Vandals so that they didn't look like the originals. They didn't look like they belonged.
Yeah, it was important that they felt like second, like they'd come after. They were like the second iteration versus the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the distinction is really, really wonderful. And I think it really shows in the party scene where they're trying to drag Kathy up the stairs. Because you see so many of them converging in the house, outside the house. And it's really interesting to see that. Versus the outdoor...
That was a really important... That was exactly what that moment was about. You know, it was about how big it had gotten and how wide and different and varied it had gotten. And how it had sort of gotten out of control. And that was, you know... I'm glad that you noticed that in the wardrobe.
And it also shows it doesn't have the quality. Because the original Vandals, you could tell they do take, except for Benny, they do take pride in their appearance. And we also learn enough in the story, Johnny worked as a trucker. One of the other guys, he's a mechanic. He's got a garage. So they're working. Yeah. They're employed. They can afford to put a little money into what they're wearing. And that also differentiated with all of these other second and third iterations, because you got the distinct impression they were all just thugs and criminals.
Totally, totally. I mean, that's exactly true. 100% accurate.
So well done. Now, another element of the costuming comes down to their footwear. Not everyone is wearing the same kind of boot.
Yeah, the boots were one of those elements where I felt that I, in the time that I had and the budget that I had, I could not give everybody a new boot and distress it in time. So those were all rentals from all the costume houses in all the world almost. So grateful. Thank you, American Costume. Thank you, Western Costume. There are a lot of boots had been designed by that point in history in the 60s, and it was just important that they had a metal toe and that they were super strong and they had a little heel so they could click on to their, you know, their pedals.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, all the guys, you know, had a slightly different way of wearing them, you know, when it came to, like, how the denim met the boot. You know, that kind of happened in the fitting and with the actor and, you know, what felt right. And, you know, sometimes I would adjust it and change things up. But yeah, those were, thank God for rentals.
Yeah, I just can't believe the amount of costuming and work that you had to do here, especially since everybody's on motorcycles and you've got to have multiple outfits, not just for revolving and washing and dry cleaning, but to fit everybody. How many costumes did you end up making?
Well, our biggest scenes were actually shot in the first 2 days of filming. Thank you, AD team. And we had our biggest days were 200. So 200 full top to bottom bike riders. Not. I don't mean pedestrians. I mean like bike riders.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, and it was our first day of shooting, and I've never done this before. But I called up Sarah Green, our producer, who I've also worked with before, and I remember it was about 10 days before that shoot day, our first day of shooting, with 200 motorcycle bike riders, and I said, Sarah, I do not know if I'm going to be ready. I have to be honest. You know, I'm professional. I've done this for a long time, and I can smell like serious issues. Like, not issues, but just there was so much to do, and I was never going to allow something on camera that hadn't been properly aged and patched. So we made, by hand, we made every single one of those vests. I mean, wow. Jeff's son made them. We had college kids come in and make them. I made 50. Everybody in my department had to make, there was a rule, they had to make 10 a day. It
wow.
was all just hand sewn on and hand designed. And then we'd have to make doubles of them because they had stunt riders, a lot of them. So, yeah, it was a really, really, really massive undertaking. I appreciate that you can tell. I think when you look at a movie as sort of rough and dirty as bike riders is, you think, you know, you don't think of it as having that deep and hard a time on the costume department, but you know, my team was incredible. I feel like we really pulled off a feat.
Oh, absolutely.
To pump out all that we did.
Wow. Now, were you using real actual leather or were you going with something more sustainable? I'm curious because of the way the leather has been treated, the way it moves. Obviously, some of it looks much softer than others. And then I know from personal experience, sewing patches and things onto leather, sewing leather in and of itself is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So were you...
It's true.
You got to get your tri-point needle to go through the leather, and it's a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there were a lot of broken needles in our department. A lot of grommets, a lot of broken needles. Oh, man, a lot of studs. Oh, yeah. You know, we source so... Like, all of the vests that are leather... Those are all sourced vintage, real leather. I made a few of the lead characters' leather jackets. I'm not going to tell you which ones. You can try to figure it out.
And you know I will.
Yes, yes, yes. But they're, you know, a lot of this was vintage that we hand-tooled and kind of and redid. And we would do a lot of, like, sort of fake multiples and things like that because, A, like you said, for the sustainability of it all, I didn't want to, you know, create a whole new world of leather that I was, you know, for this. I wanted to use what was existing. And so, and we could, you know, it was possible. And it was a lot of it was sourcing. I mean, a really good chunk of our prep was sourcing all that stuff. I will say, companies and brands like Shot New York City and Levi's and Lee, you know, they really were great to work with. They let us into their archives and they sent us historical pieces and they loaned us things and they gave us things. And I actually am doing a collab with Shot right now. We recreated Tom Hardy's jacket that he wears in the movie and you can buy it. In a few weeks. So yeah, there was some great, you know, help from some of the existing brands.
I've got one last question for you, Erin.
Okay.
What is it that makes the magic of you and Jeff Nichols so wonderful with every film you guys do? What is that magic?
It's that Jeff creates characters that are fully realized people that have full, like, psychologies and backgrounds. So he is writing stories about characters and psychology and characters, and that is what I'm designing for, always. And that is what he's doing. And so it makes it really a symbiotic relationship.
Well, every film you have done with him, I have seen, along with all your other work, and whatever this magic is that he brings to everything, I want to see more from the two of you. He's got to get back. He's got to get back to work on another film.
He's writing stuff. Don't you worry. We're already working on things. We'll give it to you.
Aaron, this has been such a joy getting to speak with you about this film. I just love your work in this film, and it truly
is. Thank you so much, Debbie. I love your eye to the detail. It's really incredible. Thank you.
Oh.
It's so awesome.
Well, you gave me something beautiful to look at and to examine. So thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And I hope we get to chat again in the future.
That would be awesome. And I can't wait to read what you write about. I bet it'll be incredibly interesting. I really appreciate your,
Aaron,
your eye. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.